Welcome to Honest Dialogue with Sonia McGirt. I hope everyone's had a great day today. Our guest today is going to be Catherine Kemp Gallet. She is viewed as an agent changer. Catherine has worked with thousands of teachers and parents in regards to healthier eating habits. So give me 1 second. I'm going to connect Catherine. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm so excited to be on your show today. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. Well, welcome to the show. What we're going to start out by talking about is just you telling us a little bit about yourself, so that way we can kind of get to know Catherine.
Sure. That sounds great.
Okay,
so,
you go ahead. Go ahead and tell me a little about
okay.
yourself.
So my background is actually I am an ex-management consultant. I always joke with people that I'm a recovering management consultant because I was one of those folks that put in those 60 to 90-hour work weeks. But it was a great time, you know, in my 20s when I was working with, you know, Fortune 500 companies and kind of getting a taste of what was happening in the workforce and what continues to happen today as far as people getting out of balance, right, in the overall life-work balance. And what made it even more difficult was when I had kids, I had to mix that into the whole schedule, into the whole mix of things. And my first child, my daughter, was born in the year 2000. And it was interesting because that was when the statistics really started coming out about diabetes. And one statistic that I remember very clearly was that one-third of all children will develop diabetes if they eat the standard
wow.
American diet. So that was really a point where there was a big shift in my career. So I went from being, you know, a graduate student in business and working in Fortune 500 companies and being a management consultant to going back to school to get my certification in nutritional counseling, really because I wanted to help my own family and myself as a new mother. I felt exhausted all the time, and I was trying to work and balance, you know, being at home with the kids sometimes and also working. And it was just a time in my life where, you know, you sometimes have to walk through the fire to get out of the other side. I was just very exhausted. And as I look back now, I know that a lot of that was lifestyle and sort of, you know, diet related. So then I started to, as I learned more about, you know, nutrition and wellness and, you know, how we can affect it sometimes in the most basic and simple ways, I decided that it was time for me to really switch careers and get into helping other families improve their nutrition and health. And that is when I founded Nurture, which is a nonprofit organization. I founded that in 2008 with the help of a great group of friends and really experienced folks, registered dietitians, and some folks with holistic health degrees and a master's in PhD in nutrition. So lots of really great women came together knowing that this program needed to take place to help families as a whole, so both children and adults, kind of learn about nutrition in a fun and hands-on way. And what hands-on really means is that we got back into the kitchen and started cooking.
Yeah, I mean, it's better to cook in your kitchen than to go out to eat. Of course, we know that. It's just everything's became quick. So, you know, the box meals, the easy, you know, put some, what is it, lasagna out of the box instead of actually making it homemade. You know, a lot of people, because they work, like you said, 80, 60 so hours, I mean, it's really hard to, probably, honestly, you're kind of selfish. You really just don't want to sit down and make the meal. To be honest, I know I have been. So I understand that.
Yeah, it's hard no matter what, you know, stage of life you're in. I know for people that are, you know, retired and they don't have a family to cook for anymore. They might not want to cook for certain reasons, and then there's young people, and then there's people in between. And so what that really means is that you have to come up with strategies that work for everybody. And let me tell you, Sonia, this is a great tip for everybody. We started giving families a slow cooker and staples, things like really basic foods like grains and whole grains and lentils and split peas and beans, really healthy but inexpensive foods. And we started just showing how you can really throw a bunch of ingredients into a pot as long as you have a framework. And then at the end of the day, when you come home, your house smells good, you really don't feel exhausted from cooking because you really just did it in like 5 or 10 minutes in the morning. And you walk in the door, your house smells good, and it's not hard to, you know, to resist that delicious smelling meal. And it's, like I said, it's easy on the budget, but it's also really good for you and tastes great.
I've actually seen on my Facebook some health gurus is what I call them because they're really big health fanatics. And they'll make all their meals for the week on that Sunday. Have you ever done that where they put them in the freezer bags and then I guess they put the day of the week and they throw it together maybe the night before and put it into the cooker?
That is another great strategy. Yeah, you can definitely do that. You can freeze ahead, and I find that that works well sometimes in the winter when you want like the soups and the things that and the casseroles that freeze easily. So that definitely is a great thing. I think in the summertime it's great to have more, you know, sort of fresh and raw foods. So it's great. What I like to do is say on a Sunday if I'm going to prep ahead, I might just chop up a bunch of things and have them like easy to reach in the fridge. So there are lots of different strategies that you can use, but certainly freezing ahead is a great one.
Okay. Now, while I was reading through your bio, I also noticed that you're an author. You want to tell me a little bit about, not the newest book, but let's go with the first book you wrote.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that was called Mountain Mantras, Wellness and Life Lessons from the Slopes. And it's not such an old book. It was actually released last year, September of 2015.
Okay.
And it definitely goes through a lot of wellness strategies. But it's one of these books where somebody that would not normally reach for a wellness book or a nutrition book might enjoy this book, because what it does is it's really about, you know, it's storytelling, it's engaging and meant to be humorous. I get notes from people all the time that say that they're reading the book and they start laughing out loud and people look at them if they're in, you know, a restaurant or something or in a cafe. And so it's one of these books where you just sort of get engrossed in the storytelling, but what is kind of sneaky about it is then there's some actionable advice, and those stories lead to techniques really to improve, you know, your overall success in life, whether it's, you know, things like having a vision and setting goals and learning from mistakes, you know, sort of general things in that regard, to how to be more balanced in life as related to wellness. So getting in physical activity and making it fun, and easy strategies for especially working with kids, and how you can get them to become healthy eaters from the very beginning.
Okay, now another question is, I think you did say that at first you didn't have this eating lifestyle, you know, but you know that you needed to, like most of us. Did you notice a huge difference health-wise when you switched over?
Absolutely. So when my daughter was born and then my son was born about 2 years later, yes, I was a new mom. I'd put on some weight with pregnancy, which is totally normal. And then I probably hadn't lost all of the weight and then, you know, put on more weight for my second child. And, you know, and then what was happening is I felt so just pressed for time. I mean, I had a toddler and a newborn. I was on bed rest for 3 months with my second child. And I just think my whole body was kind of out of whack. You know, I hadn't really moved for 3 months. And, you know, so my house was basically a wreck when my second child was born and I had a toddler to boot. And so I was trying to manage everything. And I felt like I didn't have time to make healthy meals for sure. But yet I was really hungry because, you know, new moms that are, you know, breastfeeding, you know, you're burning up a lot of calories just to feed your child and you're just hungry. So the question becomes then how do you get the calories to feel satisfied but also get them in a healthy way? And I just remember kind of really going way off track and, you know, going to processed foods and going to high sugar foods and high fat foods just because I was so hungry and so pressed for time. And frankly, I think I was just really stressed out and probably had a little bit of postpartum depression to add to the whole mix. And, you know, eating can be an emotional thing too, you know, that we're filling ourselves up because we're trying to, you know, to deal with other pressures that we can't otherwise. So, yes, I felt exhausted. I was probably the most exhausted I've ever been in my whole life, and I just felt like I couldn't I couldn't get through a day. It was sort of, and I knew that I needed to find a change. And so it wasn't certainly overnight, but I started to, you know, kind of go back to the roots of my childhood. I grew up in the house of a biochemist. My dad's a biochemist, and
wow.
He's retired today. But he
You'll
always
find a lot of those around where I live.
I mean, and it's interesting, too, because, you know, biochemists, they do look at food from a very scientific way, but my dad tried
yeah.
to make it for us very, very basic, just sort of, you know, these are the macronutrients, you know, protein, fat, carbohydrates, these are the micronutrients, this is how it fuels your body. And I think I just remembered that the one of those days when I felt so horrible, I said, you know what, food is fuel. Just like gas makes a car go, if you put in really, really awful gas, or like gas with all the kinds of additives and things that really shouldn't be in there into a car, you're going to expect that car to break down, right? And that was basically what was happening to my body. I was putting all the stuff into it that it really didn't like, and I was just breaking down. So I kind of just went back to those, you know, those lessons from childhood, and I said, I'm going to clean my diet up and go back to a more whole foods diet. And slowly but surely, I started to feel more energetic. And once you get your energy back, the whole world starts to change.
Yeah, I have that problem now. I've noticed that the older I'm getting, the less my stomach likes certain foods. I want it, but the stomach seems to be changing. I'm lactate. I have to, you know, drink lactate milk. I've noticed that a lot of the processed foods bother me more. And so I've been looking into going more gluten-free, more protein, more healthy, wheat, you know, different types of stuff. But if you go gluten-free, of course, you can't have the wheat. It's kind of all confusing, though, when you sit down from somebody that hasn't never tried to eat healthy. There's so many different options out there. You really just don't know what the best one is. So do you have any advice on that, on how to slim it down, or does it depend on if you work out, or how does that work?
Well, first I'll address what you were saying about as you get older, it seems like your digestion changes. And I've talked
yeah.
to so many people where they do find that that is the case. And even my husband, he says, oh, my gosh, I can't eat peanuts anymore. They just bother me. And we used to eat
yeah.
hummus all the time, and he doesn't tolerate garbanzo beans. They hurt his stomach. And so, yes, I do think that there is sort of this issue of our digestive system starts to almost like wear out over time. And one thing that can help is you can take digestive enzymes, and those can sometimes help. But I really do think that sometimes just kind of giving our bodies a break from certain foods can really be helpful. I look at it almost as like a barrel that fills up over time. So if we're just constantly eating things that might kind of minorly irritate us or might sort of be difficult for us to digest, you know, we might not notice it as the barrel is less full. But as we keep doing it over and over, you know, keep eating that thing that's bothering us, whether it's gluten or beans or peanuts or you know, anything, you know, there's even people that can be sensitive to the nightshade family of vegetables, which is
wow.
tomatoes, eggplant, tomato, or potatoes are another example. So you can get inflammatory responses from that. And as the finally, what happens is if you don't switch up your diet, then the barrel gets full, and what I kind of see that is that when that barrel starts to spill over, that's when the symptoms become really acute. And for a lot of people, it's joint pain. For a lot of people, it's digestive problems. Some people get headaches. Some people just get lethargic. And I think when
yeah.
it happens, that's the time to kind of really say, you know, I'm going to just switch things up. If you've been eating a lot of, you know, like I said, maybe a lot of you love salsa and you eat salsa every night on top of a potato.
I love it. I'm guilty of that one.
Okay, so that's a lot of nightshades. You know, maybe you just switch it up and have something totally different. You know, have, you know, a salad with, like, you know, chicken or turkey meat on it and with olive oil, you know. So, like, and maybe switch up some fruits. I certainly think gluten is becoming an issue, mostly because it's
yeah.
so common in our diets, and it's been modified, so our bodies might not be used to it. The other big culprit is corn, because corn is it's in soft drinks, it's in oils, it's in all fast food is basically corn. So
wow.
corn can be something that we overdo, and again, it's like the barrel that fills up, then it gets to the top, and then it overflows, and then we start to feel you know, bad in some way, whether it's achy, headachy, lethargic, or so on.
Okay. Now, another question is, like I said, I noticed during your bio that you also recently wrote a children's book. Now, I myself find it hard. I have one that loves junk food, and I have a hard time teaching her, you know, that's in moderation. You don't need to eat it every day. And so what's the key in, because you're providing, you know, an engaging and magical tale to entice them. Kind of let us know what you're doing to help the kids eat their fruits and vegetables, because a lot of us have problems with that.
Yes, and that's exactly why I wrote the book. It's called Give It a Go, Eat a Rainbow, and there's tons of information, free resources at giveitagoeatarainbow.com. So you can download, you know, lessons, and there's a little character from the book, and there's resources for schools. It's really kind of a multimedia sensation. But the idea is that I wrote the book because I did see that parents have trouble getting their kids to eat their mostly their vegetables. So sometimes fruits and vegetables, but it's really the vegetables, I think, that get a bad rap because they don't have that sweet flavor. So what I would suggest in terms of developing a healthy eater, as a, you know, for your children, is number one is just to keep it positive. I think sometimes we forget that what a child eats sometimes is one of the very few things that the child can control. So when we tell a child to either not eat something or to finish their plate or to even, you know, try three bites or whatever, we're kind of pushing that boundary against something that they feel like, hey, this is the one of the only things that I can control. So I really try to break it down to educating, inspiring, and then giving choice. And sometimes it's easier to just take the parental thing out of it. I'm a big fan of, you know, schools having programs that teach kids about healthy eating, about after-school programs, programs at community centers like YMCAs and other places where it's more like the peers are being included and the peers are trying foods and the peers are the ones that you're looking at, and it's not something that it's between the parent and child. So that's one thing, is just to sort of diffuse the whole situation if it's really becoming something where you're feeling there's like a lot of conflict or combativeness. And then another thing is just to keep giving exposure. So if you're sitting down to dinner and you're having, you know, this, you know, beautiful plate, you know, you've got your, you know, based on my plate, you know, so you've got your whole grains and the protein and the fruits and vegetables, and you're just kind of saying, yum, doesn't this look good? Wow, great job on getting three colors on your plate of fruits and vegetables. Do you know that Olympic athletes follow that in order to be strong? You know, so just kind of keeping it positive, setting good examples, and then kind of letting a child over time see that, wow, it's about having energy. Because kids really don't, frankly, care about cardiovascular disease or diabetes, or they don't even, I mean, they really just care about energy. They want to be active and have, and play, right, and have fun with their friends. So if they feel like what they're eating is going to help them achieve what they want to do, which is to go out and play, then they're going to be more likely to eat it.
Okay. Well, I also know that, I may be wrong from what I've read, do you have a radio show also?
I do, and I work at the community radio station here in Ketchum, Idaho, and I have a show on wellness, and I interview experts from around the country, and we talk about different strategies for, you know, what works both in the settings with children, like in schools and after-school programs, but also in the workplace, because what I have come to see is that the children that are in schools just grow up to be adults in the workplace, right? And actually the same kind of messages can work in both places.
you're right. I never thought of it that way, though.
Isn't it interesting? But
now,
it's true. We're all just kids grown up.
Yeah. I wish we still act like kids sometimes.
and we should.
The kid life. Yeah, I do. I think we should, too. I think that's a lot of it. Even with the eating habits, I mean, you can kind of, like you said, make it fun. Make it interesting. That's kind of going back to your kid life-like. Now, I was going to ask you, was there anything else that you would like the listeners to know that maybe we haven't went through? Because, you know, I could have missed something. I know that with you, you're saying that, you know, going into the schools, do the schools actually allow you to go in to them? Because I know some are, you know, a lot more stricter than others.
Yeah, you definitely have to have a soft approach, you know, something more grassroots, you know, kind of, oh, this might be fun to add. I think sometimes after school programs are easier to add than during school programs. But as far as something that would be additional, I would love for people to go to nurtureyourfamily.org, and that's a website where there's tons of free resources if you're interested in, you know, putting on a program at school. There's recipes, there's curricula, there's all kinds of stuff on that website that listeners can go to, and it's almost like a library of free resources that can kind of help support some of the things that we've been talking about on this interview. If folks are interested in recipes, and you talked about, you know, food intolerances, healthykidsideas.com is a recipe site where on the sidebar you can sort all the recipes, dairy-free, nut-free, gluten-free.
Wow.
You can sort it by cooking equipment, rice cooker, slow cooker, blender. And so people can kind of go there and just get inspired to get back into the kitchen. And then the last place that I would direct listeners to is makewellnessfun.com. And on there, there's just lots of, again, free resources under the radio channel and under the blog. And, you know, what you're doing, Sonia, and also what, you know, other radio shows are doing, it's just such an important public service to help people, again, by educating and inspiring and giving folks a choice.
Yeah, that's a lot of why I did it. I didn't want to focus on just one topic in particular because that gets mundane for me. I kind of wanted to make sure that I covered a huge genre, just different things that are important to people. Of course, I'm religious, so I'm a Christian. Of course, I want to cover that, but I didn't want to limit it to that. I wanted to reach out to, like you, the nutritional side of it, the author side for people, just depression, anxiety, just anything. And, you know, like you, I find it interesting because they're saying now that a lot of the foods that we eat actually are causing some of the anxiety and the depression because it somehow is, I guess you may know more about that because I'm not a nutritionist, but somehow it's affecting our systems. Do you know anything about that? Because I've been one in the past that has actually struggled with anxiety. Not the depression, but I have had the anxiety, and I also had that postpartum depression just a little. But I've heard that. I don't know how true that is.
Well, absolutely. I mean, again, just going back to that whole, like, food is fuel for our bodies in the same way that gas is fuel for cars, it's really important what we put into our bodies. And when we continuously put something into our bodies that we might be allergic to or might be intolerant to, then it certainly can affect the whole mind-body-spirit connection, which I believe is very much interrelated. And another really important issue is that, you know, in our culture, you know, we do have this issue of, you know, kind of judging ourselves a lot, like, you know, oops, I had too many cookies, and then so I feel bad, and I feel bad about myself, and that definitely affects our mood, and it can give us a lot of anxiety, and in fact, what it can cause is it can cause a downward spiral, right, of just saying, okay, well, I'm not eating healthy, so I might as well just keep eating in an unhealthy way, and it just kind of, you know, leads to this downward spiral. So I think it's really important, kind of going back to what we were talking about the positivity, you know, is to, you know, to bless our food, to be, you know, it's a gift from God and from Mother Nature, what we're eating. And the closer that our food can get to the earth, the better. But we should certainly express gratitude for it. And I think that that helps our bodies to just to feel, like you said, from a mental standpoint, we feel better about what we're eating.
Well, I think, too, a lot of us are overcooking our food. So the nutrients and the vitamins and the minerals that are in there, we're kind of losing them. Because I've read that the more you cook broccoli, you're cooking a lot of it out. Or the more you cook certain foods, you're cooking a lot of the vitamins out. Because, like, I went to the doctor recently and I was vitamin D, you know, deficient. So, and I'm assuming, though, because it's been winter, I just haven't been out a whole lot. But I know at one point magnesium was a big thing that could also affect anxiety and your mental stability. There was a lot of things I had read up on regarding health and foods that I found it interesting. And it was saying that we overcook so much, but then we're trying to take 15 vitamins to substitute.
Right, right. And those aren't natural vitamins, and so our bodies don't assimilate them as well. And you're right, you know, vitamin D deficiency is a huge problem. And, you know, for the first time in a long time, we're starting to see rickets in children because they're inside all day and they don't see the sunshine. And so, you know, that's how our bodies produce the vitamin D naturally. So I really do believe that most of the country does need to supplement, because that's one of those vitamins that you do need to supplement with vitamin D. And that's during the months of November through March. So, you know, we're getting out of that. If we're actually, you know, in the, you know, late spring and summertime, if we're actually able to get outdoors, then we can stop the supplementation of vitamin D. But magnesium, where most of our country is deficient in magnesium, so we need to be eating more nuts. We need to be eating more fish. And those, you know, those are things that obviously are very close to Mother Earth. And we can cook our food less. I think it's most important to eat more raw foods in the warmer months. So, like, we're getting into that now. And if we can grow some food in our own patios or our own gardens and have it be really fresh.
Yeah, like a garden box. Yeah, even limited room. A lot of people think they have to have this huge garden, but you can actually create a raised-up garden box in a small area.
Yeah, I really encourage people to do that. And then you can do a lot of raw salads and snack on veggies, you know, during these warm months. And then as the temperature gets cold again, then I think we go back more to cook foods. It's sort of a natural cycle.
Okay. Now, my last thing is I want to make sure that everybody knows how to get in touch with you, like if you have any websites, Facebook, Instagram, anything that you would want to share to where, you know, you can – everybody needs to get their information out there more, just as I do. Anybody that has a stand that they're taking – So go ahead and you can share your websites or anything else that you would like to share before we go off the air.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And you know, this is definitely, you know, a service to the community, and I feel like we're agents of change, you know, getting this information out to people. So it's always great to be in touch. I'm new to Instagram, but it's Nurture Your Family. Nurture Your Family is where I am on Instagram. I'm getting used to that. On Twitter, I'm at Katherine Guiley, and that is at KatherineGuiley. I'm on Facebook, Katherine Kemp Guiley. I've got a couple pages that you can find via my personal page. And again, the websites are nurtureyourfamily.org for schools and social service agencies, healthykidsideas.com for recipes, and Make Wellness Fun for all kinds of resources and inspiration to bring a little bit more wellness into your life, but in a fun and positive way.
Well, great. Well, I'm glad you're on Instagram now. It builds a lot of – I mean, it's amazing how many people you can find out there that, you know, I've learned to use hashtags a lot. So use hashtags. It's a great
way.
Because everything hashtag, it connects to those venues.
Okay, I know. I'm learning. My kids are pulling me along with that whole trend.
Well, I have one that'll be 17 this year, so they've kind of pulled me along for a little while. So I've learned that the hashtags is huge. I mean, when I do author, I put hashtag author if I'm doing something with a book. If it's the kids' book, I put, you know, hashtag kids reading or read across America, or I'll put anything like that, anything that relates to whatever it is that you're trying to get out there. I've learned the hashtag. You get a lot more people reading it.
Oh, that's a great tip. Thank you. Thank you. And our listeners, too, I'm sure would appreciate that.
It has been great having you on the show. And maybe we can have you again and see how things are going a little later.
That would be a great pleasure. Thank you so much and for all that you do for the community.
Oh, you too. Thank you, Katherine. You have a great night.
You too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, as you see, we had Katherine on, and I hope you guys check her out. She gave a lot of information that was very helpful for me. I know it will be for you. So make sure to check her out, and you guys have a great night, and I'll see you and talk to you on Friday. Bye-bye.